a Pentecostal puppet there. I thought he was going to start speaking in tongues at one point. Yeah?
Put your hand up if you understood everything he said. A few people. Yeah. Well, so we're just obviously here with the kids on the couch and going to have a little bit of an interview. And to help you, or help all of us, to understand a little bit more of what we are remembering today. So, kids, who can tell us what the branches, the palm branches, mean? Isaac, you go.
I don't know.
What were you doing with the branches?
Waving them.
Okay, waving them. And then what did you do with them?
Put them down.
Yeah, put them down. And is that what happened before in the Bible?
I think so.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Nariah, can you hold the microphone? So what happened, what else happened with the palm branches?
They waved them when Jesus was walking through the gate.
Uh-huh. Was he walking or was he riding?
He was riding a donkey.
Donkey. Yeah. Do you know anything else you can say about the donkey?
No.
The donkey, was it a real old, weary donkey? Or is it a young colt?
No idea.
No. Anyone else know? Yeah, Isaac?
Young.
Yeah, it was a young donkey. And had it ever been ridden before?
I don't think so.
No. No. And what was, do you know, maybe Gracie or Benjamin, could you pass a mic to them? Do you know why he might have rode a donkey into the city? Who else might have rode a donkey into the city like that?
I don't know.
Sorry, say that again.
I don't know.
You don't know. Maybe Gracie. Oh, Isaac. What did you just say?
King.
A king. A king rode donkeys into the cities. Is that what would normally happen? Okay. Yeah, that's right. Who else knows anything else about the palms? Or what were they all saying when they, what were they yelling out?
Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Yes. And yeah. So, so do you know what Hosanna means? No? Does anyone? Do you want to, do you know, you don't know what Hosanna means? I don't know what it means either. So.
Well, it was in the video.
Yeah.
It was in the video.
Does anybody know what it means?
Do you remember? Hey? Say it again.
Glory to God.
Slightly. Slightly.
Yeah.
Is someone putting their hand up to answer the question? Yeah? Xavier, yell it out.
He will save us.
Yeah.
Yes.
God save us. Hosanna.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd say you win. You would win a prize, but we haven't got any. So
maybe you get you to take home all the palms.
Yeah. So quite a question that I would have with it is that when Jesus is on the donkey and he's riding up to Jerusalem, and there's a lot of people around him, and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David. They're hoping, they've got a lot of hope, a lot of expectation in Jesus. So my question is, what do you hope for? Like, what are some of the things that you hope for? Like, maybe what you're hoping for right now. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to have anything to do with Palm Sunday, but just in general. Hoping for nothing. Have you got a birthday coming up? Is anybody's birthday coming up? Yours?
Mine is 2 months.
2 months away, and what are you hoping for your birthday? 2 months and? 2 months and 5 days. Yes, that's yeah. I like you thinking.
5 days older than me.
My wife does the same thing. She has a countdown for her birthday, and she reminds me several times as it's coming up to her birthday, just to make sure that I don't forget. So, with your birthday, then, what are you hoping for? Have you got a particular present in mind that you would like?
A drone.
A drone. Wow. Okay. Impressive. Yeah. Nice. And so, well, I really, really hope you get your drone for your birthday. So your parents now have a lot of expectation upon them. Everybody knows that you're expecting a drone for your birthday. So, yeah. Well, that's true. Maybe somebody else will get it. But sometimes, I really hope you do get your drone. But sometimes hopes aren't always don't always happen. So I really, really do hope you get it. But sometimes we don't always get what we want as well. And so when we're thinking about when Jesus on Palm Sunday, when he was riding up to Jerusalem on a donkey, they had a lot of hopes. They expected a lot of Jesus. But then the week later, he was crucified. And so a lot of the hopes that they had didn't come to realization. And so that happens to us in life. But that's what I was just asking, just in regards to that. So yeah. But I still hope you get your drone. You'll have to bring it to church, and maybe you can fly it around the auditorium when we're having a service. That would be impressive. So you've got permission.
Anything else that you guys hope for?
Fish.
You're hoping that you get some fish?
Because all my other ones have died.
Okay. Why did they die?
Don't know.
Did somebody forgetting to feed them?
That everyone will stop the climate change.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
What was that one?
We want it. Yeah. Climate change and the environment is very important.
Yeah.
Sorry?
People will stop worrying about COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, hopefully that happens too. Yep. Okay. Were you gonna lead into a bit more of a message?
Yes. Maybe, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for sitting down here and having us ask you a number of questions. But really appreciate it, and really good answers. But I'll give a short message now, so you can sit back down.
Well, go before they go, things. How about let's pray?
Yes.
Pray. We God, our Father in heaven, we give you glory and give you praise and honor, and because you are worthy of all that. You are worthy of all the hosannas and all the hallelujahs that we can shout out in proclamation to you. We ask that you will be honored in our lives, in our church, in our community. We ask that we might take what we have remembered here in this Sunday, with the palms, with the donkeys, with the hope, and share that with others. We ask that those who are really finding it difficult to see any hope in their life right now, I pray that they will find it in you ultimately. I pray that we might be the people who are pointers and the encouragers of hope, like the light on the corner at nighttime shines hope with the lights. I pray that people might see that. I pray that people might see your light in our lives and the lives of the kids here, that we will be a reflection of your glory and proclaim that you have provided salvation for us, that as Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem on the donkey, proclaiming that he is bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, thank you that he did that through his death and resurrection and ascension, and now that we can experience his spirit in us. So yeah, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the kids, what the kids are learning and what they were able to share. And now, may you speak in a powerful way. In your mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. Cheers, thank you. Good morning, everyone. So just a short message this morning, just about what we've been talking about in regards to Palm Sunday and hope and the expectations of which many people had on that day as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a colt. And I want to talk about this morning two people who will have been at the time and place when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. They would have been there. They would have seen it. Many people would have seen it. Many people would have been there. And these two people would have seen that occur, and they would have then seen a week later Jesus being crucified, and then they would have seen Jesus risen from the dead. These two people who will have seen Jesus ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, and then a week later, one of their names was Cleopas, and the other one, I don't know his name. We're not told his name. But there's a story in the Bible in Luke chapter 24 about two people who saw all these events, and then when Jesus was crucified, they lost all hope. They had lots of hopes, lots of expectations in Christ, and then when he was crucified, they lost hope, and they were very sad, downtrodden. And then they're leaving Jerusalem after Jesus' crucifixion, and they're on their way on a journey to a village called Emmaus, and it's about a two-hour journey, about 11 kilometers, two-hour journey to this village, and they've lost all hope. They're not happy, but they did have hope, and they had high expectations, and beforehand, and even coming up to the point where Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, the kind of the triumphant entry there, and everybody's saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David, and proclaiming, here, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were there, and before that, these two men and many other people saw many things that Jesus was doing, the miracles that Jesus was doing. They saw a man's hand, which was withered, being restored. They saw Jesus bringing people up from the dead, raising people up from the dead. They saw Jesus restoring limbs. They saw Jesus restoring sight to the blind. And those who couldn't hear, he was given the ability to hear again. Those who weren't able to walk, Jesus then would bring them up so they could walk again. They saw all these miracles. They saw Jesus feeding 4,000 people. They saw Jesus feeding 5,000 people. All these miracles, and so the expectation that they have when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, they remember the prophecies coming from Zechariah that all these things were going to be fulfilled, just miraculous things all the time. And when Jesus is feeding the 4,000, the 5,000, I mean, I always imagine what it would have been like to see this, that Jesus is just miraculously creating things out of his hands, creating fish, bread out of his hands. And I think, you know, if Jesus was here today, so all the children that were here and the children sitting around, I'll ask you, like, if Jesus was here today, what sort of food would you like to see Jesus produce out of his hands? So who likes chocolate? Hands up, who likes chocolate, right? So imagine that Jesus is here today, and we're like, and say, we've only got one bar of chocolate. We've only got one bar of chocolate, and we're like, well, what are we going to do? And you know, if Jesus was here today, you know what he'd say to us? We want everybody to have chocolate, but we've only got one bar. Jesus would say, well, you of little faith. And what he would do, he would get the chocolate, and he'd just start to produce chocolate out of his hands, and he would give chocolate, and everybody would be satisfied with the sweet delights of chocolate. So that's what Jesus might do if he was here today. But this is what Jesus was doing back then. So they saw the miracles and Jesus doing all these things, and such high hopes, such high expectations of what Jesus was doing. But then, a week later, all their hopes and dreams are crushed. And so these two people are on the road, going to a village called Emmaus. And as they're walking along this road, an individual comes up to them. Another person comes up to them. And he asks the question, he says, what are you so sad about? What are you so miserable about? And these two people turn to him and say, don't you know what's happened? Like, don't you know what, like, when, like, where have you been? Where have you been? It's like, for instance, if, let's say, if a bushfire spread through here and the church was burnt to the ground, right? And everybody knows about this. Everyone knows about this. And I was actually at Mundaring Christian, the school, during the week, and I said to some of the younger children, I was delivering this message, and I was saying to them, "Well, you know, if the school was burnt down, what would you do?" And some of them might be happy, some of them might be sad. I would have been happy if I was a student. But imagine if the church burnt down, and then you had somebody come up to you and said, "Well, are you going to church next week?" And you'd be like, "What do you mean, are we going to church next week? You know, don't you know about the fires that have kind of ravaged through Parkerville? Are you not aware about these things?" And this is similar to what was going on in that day. Everybody had heard about the crucifixion. Everybody had heard about the crucifixion. So when these two men are on this journey to Emmaus, and then this other person just comes up to them, "What's going on? Why are you so sad?" And they're like, haven't you heard there was Jesus? He was a prophet, mighty in works and deed. You don't know about this? And then, so this person then starts to talk to them and starts to have a conversation with them and says really kind of like, he says to them, you know, well, actually what he does, this individual says to Cleopas and his friend, he calls them fools. He says, "You guys are fools." That might not sound like a very nice thing to say, but this is what this individual says to them. And he's calling them a fool, not because they're silly, not because they've got a low IQ, but because they should have known the truth. They should have known the truth. They had the scriptures there. They knew all the predictions, everything about Jesus. And yet then this individual is like saying, "Don't you know this? Don't you know this?" And so he's having a conversation with them as they're on the road to Emmaus. And then this individual who's talking with them is saying, you know, he goes through Moses, he goes through the prophets, he goes through the Psalms, and he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus Christ who was crucified, but all these things were predicted beforehand. Now, when I talk to people about predictions, sometimes they're not. It's like you talk to people about predictions of what happens in the Bible, and people kind of brush it off, doesn't matter. But if somebody came to you and predicted something about your life and said, "You know what, tomorrow at 10:04, this is going to happen," and then it happened, you'd be blown away. You'd be amazed by it. And if this person kept predicting different things that were going to happen in your life, you'd be completely blown away. How do you know all these things? How do you know these things? And yet the Bible predicts so many things about Jesus hundreds and hundreds of years before he came, the crucifixion and the resurrection, and even how he was going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And so this person is talking to them, having a conversation about the Bible, and I always think it's amazing because this individual, as we'll find out, as many of us know who exactly this individual is, it's like, imagine having a lesson from this person, imagine having a teaching from this person, a kind of Bible study as you go along. And so this individual is talking to them, and then as they arrive at the village, as they arrive to Emmaus, it looks as though this person is just going to keep on walking. And so these two people, Cleopas and his friend, say, no, you can't keep on walking. Please, please come and have a meal with us. So he comes in, they have a meal, and as this person is sat there opposite them and breaks bread, all of a sudden their eyes are opened, and it's Jesus. Jesus sat right in front of them. He breaks the bread. And there's something mysterious about this, because all of a sudden they don't know. It's like they didn't know who they were talking to. It was Jesus all along. Jesus all along as they were walking on this two-hour journey, and it was Jesus explaining the Bible to them. And then all of a sudden when they sit down, they break the bread, and Jesus is right in front of them. Right in front of them. And kind of like, and then pretty much as soon as that happens, he just disappears. Vanishes right in front of their eyes. And as I think about this story, I was thinking about a film, a number of films that I was watching. Kids here, have you ever seen any of the Batman films? Put your hands up if you know. Do you know who Batman is? Any kids? Right, cool. Right, everyone knows who Batman is. You might not have seen the films yet, but if you watch the films, especially the ones with Christian Bale and actor, you might be a bit young to watch them, but when you do get older and you do watch them, you'll see what Batman does. And anyways, so people will be talking to Batman, and they'll look at, they'll like be having a conversation, and then they'll look away, and then all of a sudden they'll look back and Batman's gone, right? He's disappeared. So this is similar to what Jesus did, but Jesus isn't Batman. And Jesus isn't a ninja. So Batman was like a ninja and he can do this. But Jesus is God. And Jesus miraculously just disappears, right? So there's some similarities to Batman there, but not many. So Jesus miraculously disappears. He's not a ninja because Jesus is God and Jesus can do these things. And this is what Jesus does. And so these guys are completely amazed. Now they're blown away, completely blown away. All the hopes, all the expectations that were dashed. Now they're like, man, Jesus is alive. Who would have thought? Because even before this, as they were sad at the beginning, as they started walking to Emmaus and they were completely sad, they still heard reports. They were like, we're hearing reports that the grave's empty, but they're not putting two and two together. So now, very excited, very ecstatic. They've seen Jesus. Jesus has just disappeared. And so they rush back to Jerusalem. They kind of just rush back to Jerusalem to tell everybody else. And when they arrive there, there's the 11 other disciples and many other people there as well. And they say, we've seen Jesus. We've seen Jesus. And then they start to say, we've seen Jesus too. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of them, Jesus appears and says, peace. Jesus appears and says, peace. Peace to you. Peace to you. And then they're like, first of all, they're just frightened. They're just scared. They're like, what is this? Is this a ghost? Is this a spirit? Is this a ghost? They are terrified. And I think, what would we do if Jesus appeared to us? Like if he appeared right in the center here right now, what would we do? I think many of us would probably fall down in worship. He is Jesus. You know, some of us might say, well, have we got time for an interview? Maybe we could slot 10 minutes into the service to have an interview with Jesus. Or some of us might say, Jesus, welcome. Thank you for visiting our church today. We've got a brunch going on. You can stay here for that. We've got tea and coffee. We've got some biscuits. Make yourself at home, Jesus. We might say that. But anyways, the reason why I'm saying this is because at that time, Jesus appears. He says, peace unto you. They're terrified. Completely terrified about what they're seeing. Don't know if it's a ghost, it's a spirit. Jesus says, come and look at me. Come and handle me. Come and touch me. The holes here in my hands. Come and see. And then he says to them, let's eat. Let's have something to eat. And you're like, there's the humanity of Christ. That if he appeared here today, he'd say, let's eat. Let's go and sit down and have a meal together. Because that's what he did with the disciples. Let's eat. And you think, how kind of like lowly and humble, we would bow down and worship, and then Jesus would say, well, let's just sit down and eat. Let's have some fish together. Let's have some bread. Let's have some chocolate together. Let's have some ice cream together, because that's Jesus. He's real. He's here. He's real. But the point that I want to make with all of this is about hope and expectation. The people on Palm Sunday had high expectations of who Jesus was going to be, that he was going to be king and rule and reign. And Jesus is king, and Jesus does rule, and Jesus does reign. And Jesus will come and be king in the future and rule and reign. But what they missed was one of the main reasons that Jesus came, was to wash our sins away so that we could come into covenant fellowship, friendship with God, that could be restored. That's the reason why Jesus came. That's the reason why Jesus came. They missed that. Many people missed that. Many people today missed that. There's many of us here that missed that. We get confused as to why Jesus came, but Jesus came so that our wrongdoing, our sin, would be placed upon him, and he would take the punishment that we deserve so that we can have fellowship and connection with God. That is the true hope. We can have many different hopes in our life, many different hopes about different things. And sometimes those hopes will come to be. Sometimes those hopes will be fulfilled. And even if they are, they're still fleeting. They won't last. But Jesus is the hope, is the solid foundation, is the anchor of our soul. Around this time of Easter, around this time of Passover, we think about Christ. Think about Palm Sunday. Think about this next week coming up to it, the hopes and expectations that we can have in Jesus Christ and will have, and how he fulfills all of those hopes and expectations. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it doesn't matter what happens in our life, whatever hopes, whatever expectations we have, whatever dreams are shattered, Jesus is always there with you, right by your side, always will be, for eternity and to eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can just come and honor you today. We thank you for all the children here. We thank you for the questions that were asked and the answers that were given. We pray for all the children here as well, as the children in that day on Palm Sunday were waving those branches, that they were crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Father, we pray for the children here. We ask you that you would do a work in their hearts and minds. We ask you that you would do a work in our hearts and minds, in all of us here, that we would make you the center of our lives, that you would be our central hope, that we would have all our expectations upon you, and we know that those expectations will never, ever, ever be disappointed, that all the hopes that we have in you will be fulfilled, and we thank you for that. We thank you that we have such a solid rock in you. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, that you were willing to come, and we thank you, Jesus, that you willingly went to the cross to be crucified, and we thank you that the resurrection occurred, that you were just, that you were righteous, that you were sinless. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are now at the right hand of the Father up on high. And we pray also, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, King Jesus. Come, King Jesus. We pray for this country. We pray, Lord, for these suburbs around here. We pray for the leaders of this country. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world in this time, those who are being afflicted, those who are being hurt, those in war-torn countries. Father, we pray for all of them. We ask you, Lord, that they would know the presence of your Spirit, that they would be lifted up on high. Father, we pray that the gospel would be proclaimed, that the truth and light that comes only from you will be proclaimed in the entire world. We pray, Lord, that many, many, many people would come into covenant with you. Many people would come into relationship with you. Many would be convicted of their sins, and many would know the beauty and the joy of the salvation which is alone in Jesus Christ. Amen.